W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue in Buffalo, New York.
This case is a poster child for swift justice.
19-year-old Peyton Gendron pleaded guilty to murder and hate-motivated terrorism charges for the shooting deaths of 10 black people at a local supermarket. The sentence, life in prison. Gendron answered yes and guilty as the judge referred to each victim by name and asked whether he killed them because of their race. Zanita Goodman was in court. Her son survived the shooting in Buffalo.
His voice showed me, made me feel sick, but it showed me that I was right in all the times that I've said that this country has a problem. This country is inherently violent, it is racist, and his voice showed that to me today.
Gendron's lawyer suggested he now regrets his crimes, but they didn't elaborate or take questions. Jury deliberations have resumed in Washington in the seditious conspiracy trial of Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and four associates on charges related to the Capitol riot. Republican officials in a rural Arizona county refused to certify the 2022 election ahead of the deadline. The decision comes amid pressure from prominent Republicans to reject a vote count that had Democrats winning for the Senate, governor, and other statewide races. Brazil overcame the absence of Neymar to beat Switzerland 1-0 at the World Cup and advanced to the round of 16. Serbia and Cameroon drew 3-3 earlier in the day. Merriam-Webster has chosen gaslighting as its word of the year for 2022. Lookups for gaslighting on the dictionary company's website increased this year by more than 1,000% over the previous year. The word refers to a form of psychological coercion. This is AP News.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now get up to 50% off at the Cyber Monday sale and even deeper discounts on some of our favorite styles happening now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with a gift of their super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss the Cyber Monday sale on now at your nearest Untuck It store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It, shirts designed to...
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Four Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The case of a Milwaukee elections official who asked for false military absentee ballots is raising the question if Wisconsin should change the way it makes people on active duty ask for absentee ballots online. Service members don't have to show a photo ID to get an absentee ballot. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is talking about requiring military voters to use their common access card to verify who they are. The Wisconsin Elections Commission meets this week to certify the November 8th vote. County election officials finished their count last week. Once the ballots are certified Wednesday morning, we'll have an official number for voter turnout. In sports, Philadelphia beat the Packers last night, the Bucks beat Dallas, and Luke Fickell is introduced today as the Badgers' new football coach. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Every Halloween day, scream face. Bloody Mary, secondary, Jordan, mean face. A-Rod, got them offside, free play.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, it's been a little bit of a break since we've done this, but I'm feeling good about how the game went last night, despite us losing. So we are doing Packers Pundit Playback with returning champion Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for the Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company, and also hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast, which is on the Brewers. Paul Noonan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So am I silly for thinking that that was actually a not terrible performance?
You're not silly for thinking that at all. Philadelphia, first of all, is one of the three best teams in football, without question, and easily the best team in the NFC. And hanging with them for this long is impressive. If this was a normal Packers season and we were rolling into this game as one of the other juggernauts in the NFC, this would be a really encouraging performance. And people would be talking about this is an NFC championship game showdown for later. That would have been a great preview of things. It's just that we come in with all these bad losses beforehand. And so it's just looks like another one on top of that. But yeah, a lot went right in this game, especially offensively, where we've looked better than we have in ages. So yeah, absolutely.
Was this their highest scoring game of the season?
I think it was. I should have that.
I mean, this is more of your realm than my realm, but I thought I heard one of the announcers say last night that we hadn't broken 19 points the whole season so far.
That's definitely not the case. That I know for sure. I will pull it up on the side while I'm talking.
but I watched it. I mean, because we turned it on, and having those immediate two goals, we go 13-0 within the first quarter, and then all of a sudden we're tied almost immediately. We go up with that. How much scoring there was in the first quarter alone? I was like, oh, okay. And granted, then our defense wasn't there, and we'll get into all of that. But then I also feel like, I mean, the big story I feel like that came out of last night, though it's on the good side, is how good Jordan Love looked.
Yeah, he did. This is definitely Jordan Love's best performance of his Packer career. And it was very small. There were not a ton of throws, but he's had just problems of various types every time he's been out there. And the last time he played significantly was just in mop-up duty and had four passes and a blowout. And when Jordan Love was drafted, he was drafted primarily because he had the strongest arm of that draft. He has an upper tier arm in terms of just sheer power. He had some accuracy problems in college. The last time he played, he was clearly working on his mechanics because that power wasn't there. And he was looking at his feet. Every time he backed up, he was shuffling. This was way better. This was such a marked improvement from last time we saw him. His footwork was better. He was hitting passes in the flat that even Aaron misses a good number of times. And that pass that he hits to Christian Watson, while not a super difficult throw over the middle, hit him right between the numbers, perfectly in stride, and that's why he scored. So it was a great performance from Love. Good to see that. Certainly good to see improvement from the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was a thing as far as, are people now hoping that Aaron... No. I mean, it sounds like he's okay, and it was
oblique,
or even a punctured lung, right? Wasn't he worried about that too? So it sounds like he's okay.
Yep, he'll be fine, I think, and probably play until they're they're not mathematically eliminated, by the way. We 538 has these projections you can run on just odds for the rest of the season. And their odds, if the Packers should go undefeated the rest of the season and wind up at 9-8, are 45% to make the playoffs, which seems ridiculous, but is apparently true. So Aaron will probably be out there until they're dead.
They're done.
Yes, but they're not done yet, which is like they should be done, but they're not.
So I guess another thing I learned last night, so you can tell me if the announcer was wrong, but I don't think he was this time, was that Jalen Hurts was drafted the same year as Jordan Love behind Jordan Love.
Also, yes.
And wow, I'm so happy I have that guy on my fantasy football team. That was the only silver lining for me last night because we just couldn't stop him.
That's going to be a historically great quarterback class when people look back on it. That was Joe Burrow of Cincinnati, Tua Tagovailoa. Got to be careful when I. That was right. First time I've ever said it right. Of Miami. Tyler Huntley, who's Baltimore's backup, but was an undrafted free agent in that class and also really, really good. I believe Justin Herbert was in that class, San Diego starter. And then. Then Jalen Hurts was after Love. Love was the next one after Herbert. Then it was Hurts. I actually liked Hurts better in that draft. He was a more accurate college passer than Love's big problem was just accuracy. It's tricky to overcome that with prospects. That's kind of the best projector of college quarterbacks to the NFL. And he was like the 56th most accurate quarterback passing that year. Love was. Hurts was like fourth.
And can run like that.
And can run like that as well. Is an elite athlete to boot, in addition to being a great pocket passer. So, he was a late second round pick. I kind of wish we had him instead, but what are you going to do?
It is what it is. But yeah. Another good, we're still focusing on the good stuff. I just want to play this as what someone played after Christian Watson grabbed that or got the pass from Love and turned around and ran. Someone tweeted this out, and I think it's exactly how we all feel about Christian Watson running.
He's fast. He's really, really fast. I mean, he's so fast. He makes fast people look not fast.
I got it. He's fast.
He's very fast.
Yep. By the way, the person who tweeted that out is Tyler Brook, who is on my podcast fairly regularly, about every other time.
So. Small Packers pundit world.
Yes, indeed.
I think that has been probably the highlight of the season so far, is watching him get better and how good he could grow into being, right?
Yes, absolutely. They picked him. He's a second round pick. There's this big thing that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't have a lot of first round picks in his history because Jordy Nelson was a second round, a lot of second round guys. And he was the first pick of the second round, but they traded up. I count him as a first rounder. And I just keep wondering if they would have just played him a little earlier, more consistently, if they maybe wouldn't be in this position right now. Because that raw speed is just incredible. Yeah. He's just so much faster than everybody else on the field. And on that touchdown, he was outrunning other players with like 4.440s and just making them look like they were standing still. Seeing him actually, utilized in the offense after really being frozen out by Aaron and injured for the first half. It's great to see the progress, but I also just kind of wonder what could have been if they would have gotten him going a little bit earlier than this too.
Yeah.
But fantastic game. One of the best stretches that any Packer receiver has ever had with 6 touchdowns in 3 games. Rookie or otherwise, Devontae is the only other person who's done that over a 3-game stretch, not as a rookie.
Yeah.
So, he's really been dominant and he's really, really difficult as a matchup for every other team. The Eagles actually have the best pass defense in the NFL. And so even though they were playing off a little bit by that point in the game and had a good lead, that's just a very impressive passing play, specifically given the defense they were facing.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of defense, first, our guest this half hour doing Packers pundit playback is Paul Noonan. It feels like our defense was once again the problem last night.
It was. This was a game between two defenses that can't stop the run. Philadelphia is good at everything except stopping the run. They're ranked 26th coming into this game. Unfortunately, the Packers rank 32nd, and there's only 32 teams in the league. You can't rank worse than 32nd, and it keeps biting them, and it's bitten them several times now. And this is a consistent problem with Joe Barry. He has never had a defense in his career as a defensive coordinator that's had a run defense ranked higher than 23rd for a season. Usually it's 27th or below. Whatever he's doing schematically, it just does no favors to his team for stopping the run. I know part of that's by design. He's a pass-first guy. But you can't let a quarterback rush for 140 yards on you and also let his running backs just go for 100 a pop, too. The defense just continues to be a problem. They can't get big stops when they need to. They're injury-bitten a little bit, but it just looks like they can't even throw out their run stoppers and stop the run. TJ Slayton is supposed to be the run stopper, actually graded out well this game. When he's in there with Kenny Clark and with Devontae Wyatt, they should be good against the run, and they're just not. Those guys are there to do that specific job, and it still doesn't work. And the most worrying thing, I think, on that defense is Quay Walker, who was their first-round pick and an off-ball linebacker, and just never seems to hit the right hole or be in the right place to stop the run. He's very fast. He's a little undersized, but he seems to just get blown up a lot. And he plays a position where you shouldn't need that long to develop. Different positions take different amounts of time to actually get good. The off-ball linebacker spot is kind of just, you pick a gap, it's your responsibility, you hit it as hard as you can. It's not that much more complicated than that. And his struggles are really worrying considering the draft capital they spent on the guy.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. It's like, well, so is this, when it comes to our defense, is this a coaching thing or is this a talent thing? Or, I mean, obviously it's some combination of both, but if you had to pick, which one is it more?
I really do think it's a coaching thing with the Packers specifically. Joe Barry has never been a good defensive coordinator in his career. And if we can tie this into what we're going to talk about a little later, but the Packers clearly wanted to hire Jim Leonard when they went out and ended up with Joe Barry. And Joe Barry, I think, was really a fallback, safe, comfort pick. He'd worked with Matt LaFleur in his previous spots. And he had experience as a coordinator, though those experiences weren't particularly good experiences. He was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions when they went 0-16. He only got the job because he was married to the head coach's daughter. And he would parlay that into another DC job later for Washington, where, again, he was quite bad. So I think the Packers still have a very talented defense. They're getting occasional good production, even with lesser players. Like, their highest graded players in this game was like Rudy Ford, Justin Hollins, who just joined the team off waivers today. And normally they're talented. Like, Russell Douglas is good. Jair Alexander's very good. They're missing Rashawn Gary, but Preston Smith is still there. This is a very talented team. There's no excuse for them being the worst at anything with this level of talent. Scheme, I think, is a big problem. There's a few instances in this game where there were just cornerbacks not covering anybody. AJ Brown was just open with nobody over the top of him on a big third down play in this game. That's just a coaching mistake. Barry, I think, is probably not long for this world after this game. I think he's probably going to get the axe sooner than later.
Oh, you do? You don't think he'll finish the season?
If they finish the season with him, it's just to have candidates lined up and be able to make better decisions. If you fire him right now, you're putting an interim, probably Jerry Gray, in place for the end of the season. They can probably just let him finish it out if they want to, but there's been rumblings that LaFleur's not happy with the defense, and if they act sooner, I won't be that surprised.
Yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, Jim Leonard, who they wanted to have give that job to, now might be able to take it because they have announced a new Badgers coach. So we're going to talk about that with Paul Noonan when we come back from this break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. And whoever played a Badgers on the back of life, you find back tonight.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets law and order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with highs around 44. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 35. Cloudy again tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, high of 51. Highs level off around 30 Wednesday, with a chance of snow 30 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Sports go sports. I promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are doing Packers Pundit Playback with Paul Noonan. You just love that song.
Love some Garfunkel and Oates. Good stuff.
And you know who it is, Paul. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but remember, Paul's a big like parody song person.
Oh, that's right.
We forgot. We should have forgot to pull your song. Have you done any for this season yet?
I haven't, but I'm going to for Christmas.
So. Ooh, okay. Is JR going to sing it again? JR didn't sing it.
He did not sing. To keep his journalistic integrity intact, since it could be viewed as criticizing Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. It's kind of like, I'd say it's even, but.
But he lended some of his musical ability.
He's good at fitting things into the proper meter, and I can get good at writing the concepts and getting the basic meter down. But like in Aaron Rodgers' Instagram, there's a bridge in the middle that's really really tricky. It would not have been nearly as good without him. So that's what he helped with.
Shout out to JR. Yes. So. We talked a little, we ended the last segment speaking about Joe Barry and how long he will be around as the defensive coordinator for the Packers and the potential of the guy that they originally wanted maybe getting the job because he is now out of a job, that man being Jim Leonard, who over the weekend it is announced that he will not be returning as the full-time head coach instead of the interim head coach for the Badgers football, and instead Cincinnati's Luke Fickell is going to take over. So did you have any reactions to thoughts about, I mean, I don't feel like I know enough. I saw reactions on Twitter and it seems like in general, I feel bad for the players who were close to Christ and had heartbreak over that. Then they also lost a teammate. Like this has been a rough season emotionally for very young men. And now to lose another coach that they actually saw some success with this week. But from a fan standpoint or a Badger fan at this standpoint, good move, bad move?
It's tricky to judge this, and I think ultimately it's a good move, but it's very un-Wisconsin move. That's, I think, the big takeaway. I suspect in the Barry Alvarez era as his athletic directorship that this kind of thing wouldn't have happened. That that Jim Leonard is very much a program guy, that Wisconsin's MO, outside of a few exceptions to this, like Gary Anderson was an outsider, and I think that actually put them back on the insider track. But the program usually keeps a Wisconsin person who can build a strong running game and a strong defense as the person running the show. And they do that because I think that they think in the back of their minds that they're not necessarily going to compete for big names all the time, and that the one time they did it, a guy left for a different, if not necessarily better, job. However, the landscape has changed a ton in college football since Barry was in charge of everything. The main, aside from now that you can pay players through the name, image, and likeness clause, the Big Ten is changing. In 2024, they're adding USC and UCLA to the Big Ten.
Which is crazy.
And they're likely to do away with divisions at that point. Wisconsin gets a huge bump in their competitiveness from the fact that they play in the worst division of the Big Ten, where they're clearly the best program. Minnesota's made great strides with PJ Fleck. They're good too. But they tend to be among the best of the worst teams in the Big Ten. And it kind of gives them an easy route to the Big Ten championship game. And if they get lucky there and beat Ohio State or whoever makes it, they have a much easier path than most teams to an upper tier bowl. That's going away. In 2024, it's very likely that the Big Ten will eliminate divisions. And so to compete for a title in it, you'll have to beat Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and the big teams on the other side of the bracket. They probably weren't going to be able to do that the traditional way. And I like Jim Leonard a lot. I think he is a defensive genius. I think he will get another job very easily. But I'm not sure about his recruiting. I'm not sure that he can bring in high-level talent. He hasn't really done that before. And he's part of Wisconsin's current recruiting. He's their defensive coordinator, and they've had trouble with it. So I know that some people were reacting that this looks like, on the outside, maybe an overreaction to their loss to Minnesota, to a little bit of an uninspiring end of the year. I don't really think that's the case. I think this is a broader look from Wisconsin itself at the future, and in probably needing a guy who can recruit at an elite level, which Luke Fickell can and has done. And, you know, now that you can actually offer people money, you need to develop a program that offers people money to come to your school. That's just the reality of college football now. He has experience bringing in elite level talent, elite quarterbacks, elite skill position players. So it's probably a good move for Wisconsin. And I think he's going to be a name that Green Bay looks at seriously because they wanted him before. I think that they, you know, maybe they feel spurned, but I don't think football teams really operate that way.
Yeah.
But Leonard's a really, really, really good defensive mind. And if I think doing his specialty at the NFL level may fit a little bit better than college anyway. The problem in college is you run against just super great offenses where you're overmatched all the time. Mm-hmm. Your scheme doesn't really matter when that happens. The NFL is more compact. Scheme matters a lot more. And I think he can do good work there. So I won't be surprised if he ends up there. I think that they'll certainly give him a call and let him know they're interested.
It's good timing, potentially.
It is. It honestly is good timing. Yeah, I don't know if they'll do anything mid-season because schemes are hard to implement, but I guarantee they've already given him a call and said, hey, we see you're free. Just, you know, talk to us before you do anything.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Well, all interesting stuff. But as far, when does your next episode of Reporting as Eligible come out?
We recorded that on Tuesday nights, posted on Wednesday morning. Okay. For everybody to listen to. So that's always there. And then I usually do a breakdown of the game too that posts on Friday morning as well. So
perfect.
And the upcoming game.
And people can find Paul at Badger Noonan on Twitter. Anywhere else that people should look out for you?
No, I suppose I should probably move to some alternative sites though. I am. Anywhere I go, that'll be my name. I actually do have a Mastodon account that I never use, and I have a co-host one and a Hive one, but we'll see where anything lands. Don't use them too much yet.
That is the whole trudge now of where do I go? What do I build? There's already so many things that I'm trying to keep tabs of.
We need to see where everybody else goes first.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. All right, well, Paul, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll probably get you back before the end of the season.
Sounds good. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what makes a job good? We want to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah. Sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. The world's biggest active volcano began erupting for the first time in nearly 40 years.
Mauna Loa began erupting late last night on Hawaii's Big Island.
It's not a time to be alarmed.
Hawaii County Mayor Mitch Roth says the lava flows are contained within the volcano's summit area and are not threatening any communities.
We have not had to do any evacuations.
Still, Hawaii's Civil Defense Agency has opened two shelters amid reports of some people self-evacuating. The Hawaiian Volcano Observatory's Ken Hahn says history indicates summit eruptions do not pose any danger to people, but they should stay vigilant.
Any Mauna Loa eruption is something to be concerned with.
I'm Sagar Magani.
Five police officers in New Haven, Connecticut have been charged with misdemeanors over their treatment of a black man in June after he was paralyzed from the chest down in the back of a police van. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at cordellcordell.com. 1 Glenlake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now get up to 50% off at the Cyber Monday sale and even deeper discounts on some of our favorite styles happening now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with a gift of their super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss the Cyber Monday sale on now at your nearest Untuck It store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Atner with your headlines. A 20-year-old Sheboygan man has been arrested for a fatal hit and run. It happened about a half an hour after the conclusion of that city's holiday parade on Sunday night. A 69-year-old man was struck by a four-door sedan while crossing the street. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. Police say the incident did not happen along the parade route and there's no indication it was intentional. When the House and Senate reconvene in Washington this week, Congress is expected to pass legislation codifying same-sex marriage protections and interracial marriage protections. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has been a major driver of the effort and has been praised by both Republicans and Democrats for her leadership on the Respect for Marriage Act. Baldwin became the first openly gay U.S. senator when she was elected in 2012. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. What is your definition of a good job? We would love to hear from you. Call or text 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What do you define a good job as? Because I feel like in this world now of what was coined the great resignation of people leaving their jobs to go to, quote, better jobs. I think whenever politicians are talking about bringing good jobs, simultaneously, we still have record unemployment, though that might change as all of the interest hikes from the Fed start to actually slow down the economy, which is what they're trying to do. Well, I guess there's a lot of people who've been laid off recently, and maybe the unemployment rate in San Francisco right now is not the same. But I think this is an idea a lot that we talk about. What is a job versus a good job? Do you have a definition for what do you think a good job is?
It's certainly not just about money.
No.
I mean, money is a critical component, and feeling like you are being compensated fairly for what you're doing, I think, is really important. Being seen sounds like such a silly thing, but it's having your voice recognized, or at least feeling like you are bringing something to the organization and they recognize that you are bringing something to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell people every day, I really appreciate you, but there has to be something there to back that up. And it's not always money. It can be really little things, right?
Yeah. What do you think, Brooke? What do you think a good job is? Yours, the job you have right now.
Right. Yeah, of course.
The best job. Best job in the world, Brooklyn, of course.
We kind of talked about this when you were gone. Like, it was more so like, what does Gen Z think is, like, what do they want out of work and stuff like that? And I feel like the biggest thing has always been a job that can just kind of be understanding of like where Gen Z is at. And Gen Z is now, I feel like, in this place of like, we had to go through the pandemic and like either working from home or doing school from home, and then like having to like get thrown back into normal life, I feel like caused this like big like mindset shift of like, I need a job that, and I think we've also talked about this with you, a job that will, like Jane said, compensate me for the work that I'm doing, but also allow me to be flexible. Because I think a lot of Gen Zers want to work remotely. I said before, I feel the opposite of that because I have, my ADHD is too severe. I need to be at my place of work. Otherwise, I get too distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what makes a good job to someone my age is a job that's flexible. And also, I think there's this new like social climate of like they have to have certain rules in place and ideals that will not have any room for discrimination or treating people differently for any reason. Because I think that's like what's become most important to young people is like flexibility and also like where do you stand on certain issues? So
it's interesting. And do you feel that, because I wonder how much of that attitude, I want to get back, because I think do we have a call? All right, we'll take a call in just a second. But the pickiness of it all, mm-hmm. or that stereotype of being picky or not being hard workers, certainly started with millennials,
mm-hmm.
and people making, you know, tons of think pieces about millennials and how, right. we just don't want to work and blah, blah, blah. But it's that's interesting. And so who's on the phone?
We have Al on the phone from Milwaukee. Go ahead, Al.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. A good job is something that's completed and of quality.
A good job is something that's completed and of quality?
That's correct. A career is something that you go to because you enjoy what you do.
Oh, interesting. So you think there's a difference even between a job versus a career, and then a job is just something that you have to pay the bills?
That's correct.
That's interesting. Do you think that changes as far as what we should be as individuals or as a society trying to create more of?
Most of us have worked jobs basically to do what you said, pay the bills. It's not something we enjoy doing. It's something that we need in order to take care of our basic needs, of paying bills to sustain ourselves. A career is something you train for and you become efficient at it, but you enjoy it. You don't have to use an alarm clock to get up to go to work every day. Basically, you get up because you know that you haven't completed something and you got to keep going to it to make it be the best that it can be. My grandfather once told me when I was 12 years old, he said, always do your best and then shut up.
Did you follow that advice?
Yes, I did. If you do your best at whatever you do, you don't have to talk about your work. Your work will speak for you.
That is very good advice. I would agree with that. So, like, thanks so much for the call, Al. And I think that's it. There's a great Chris Rock joke that he talks about a career versus a job. And he goes, a job is the situation where you take your bathroom break, even when you don't have to go to the bathroom. you're just trying to get the time to pass. Which I have certainly had those jobs. But I thought about this a little bit because. And I don't think this is the criteria for a good job. I think this is the criteria of a great job and maybe what Al was just talking about, which is a career, is that I missed my job while I was gone. And I missed you guys. And but not just that, but it's obviously the relationships I have at my job, but also the act of doing it and the challenge of doing it and the people I get to talk to. And I think I'm in a very... You know, not everyone gets to have that feeling. I think a lot of people would like to not have to come back from vacation. But I certainly, by the end, was feeling I'm ready to get back because I actually like what I do. And so it's interesting because I don't know if that's concept of, and granted, career versus job, there's maybe, like Al said, I think that's an interesting point. Of those of us who pursue something that we're passionate about or something that we're really good at or something that can, you know, feels like you can take a lot of pride in because it, you think it provides value. And then there's jobs that are jobs.
Yes.
But as you, we were saying, like the pickiness of it all. Mm-hmm. And if we have low unemployment rates and we have also a young workforce that doesn't necessarily feel that same pressure for whatever reason. And is it because there's so many digital remote jobs now? There's data entry and graphic designers and social media managers, and there's a lot of stuff that you can do freelance now. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the numbers of how much that is, how people are piecemealing their work together or the gig economy and stuff like that. But obviously there is a shift as far as how many people there are to do some of the jobs that just need to get done type jobs. And so I think it's interesting to think about this definition that I found this article that was the Aspen Institute Economic Opportunities Program and the Families and Workers Fund basically launched a group called the Good Jobs Champions Group. And they attempted to kind of try to create an evidence-based, worker-informed definition of what makes a good job. And so they talked to leaders from across sectors, small and large businesses, labor, workforce development, finance, academia, policy, and talk to all these different people to try to synthesize different definitions of job quality and did all this polling. And so basically what they were able to come up with was there's three different things that go into a quote, good job. So a good job provides one, economic stability, two, economic mobility, and three, equity, respect, and voice, which I feel like is kind of what you guys both, a little bit of what you both said,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that obviously economic stability, meaning you only need this one job to afford your life, right? I kind of see like how that's
sure.
Like a stability in providing your standard of living. But then mobility is through like equitable hiring, opportunities to learn in advance and like actually be able to grow and also like make more money and like earn wealth over time versus just living paycheck to paycheck. And then the last one I think is what you were talking about, Jane, which is like the respect and also what you said, like the respect as far as your actual work, but also the hierarchy and things not getting, like, they're not being racism, they're not being sexism, like certain, like the actual culture is more inclusive. So I don't know, is that a good working definition?
I would say so.
I think it's great. And again, I think going back to what Al said, you know, a career is different than just a job, but not everyone is going to go down a career path. Not everyone has that passion that is going to carry them through, you know what I mean? I like to make silly, crafty things that would never have paid for my bills.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is just a job that needs to get done, then I think employers really have to look at that. And it's got to be the opportunity for some economic mobility.
Well, and it's also, I feel like on the campaign trail for mayor, trying to think of what was the exact, Mayor Johnson, family, it wasn't family, I forgot the term that he used, because I think there is a difference between, there's obviously a lot of jobs, which is why, you know, the narrative of nobody wants to work anymore. It's like, well, no one wants to work your crappy job where you're a bad boss.
And the money is terrible.
Or the money's not terrible, but the expectations on you are not realistic. There's a TikTok creator who basically does dramatic readings of bad bosses. So people submit to him email exchanges or text exchanges they've had with their boss. And this guy plays up the narrative, like he acts out the story basically of the text exchange back and forth, and some of these bosses are just awful, and the intimidation that they do, the beg, like it's like there was one that I remember distinctly of someone who had put everything into place for him to take vacation for Thanksgiving, or no, it was a wedding. Actually, this was great. Now I'm remembering the whole thing. So he had put months in advance. This was my time that I was going to take off, and you knew that this was coming, but it wasn't, the reason why the project wasn't done wasn't his fault. It was because someone else hadn't finished it. And it's a back and forth with his boss, and his boss is using every book, like every play in the playbook as far as what he's trying to intimidate him, threaten him, bribe him, and he keeps saying that he keeps making this threat of going their boss, or like the manager, like the owner or whatever, and the guy who's the actual worker and employee keeps holding his boundary, keeps like saying, going back and forth of why this is not, he's not coming into work,
right?
He's like, I am already in Hawaii,
right,
for this wedding,
not coming back.
And lo and behold, the boss was at that same wedding.
You're kidding me.
That's the, so funny. The guy who he was like the best man and the father of the bride was the boss.
Oh.
Like, so if you really want to take it up with him, you can. It was a great unfolding. But even without that and like the end of the story, the things that this boss, I can't ever imagine. And I've managed a lot of people in my life, and maybe I'm a soft boss, but I could never imagine the threats that were being exchanged in a text thread with someone who you were the one who screwed up, and like they did everything by the books, and just because you know that your butt's on the line because the thing didn't get done, that you're making it their problem even though they did everything correctly. And I think there's a lot of jobs that are out there that are like that, and people just don't want, like there's more and more opportunity now, so people just don't have to put up with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have quite a few stories, and I was like, I should submit my text messages to that guy and see if he reads them. I definitely right, have some stories.
Maybe we'll tell some at the okay. When we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Busboy, bartender, ladies of the night, grease monkey, ex-junkie, winner of the fight. Walking on the streets, it's really all the same. Selling souls, rock and roll, any other game. Working for a letter.
Hey. This is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA, is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 44. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 35 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Highs around 51. Highs level off around 30 Wednesday with a chance for snow. 31. Sunny skies and calm Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket.
Welcome back to me, to the audience, against all of you. Happy to be back. Good to know that I can still do this.
Yes, absolutely.
Did not forget.
No, went quick too.
But it did go by quickly. We're talking about good jobs, bad jobs. What's the definition of a good job? And we just said some of the crazy stories of bosses you have to put up with. Brooklyn, what's one of your stories?
This was more annoying than I would say crazy, but I just couldn't believe my ears. Like I just remember the look on my face when this happened. So basically, I was a manager of a place, and
keep it vague.
Yeah, the rules were if you needed to take off for any reason, 2 weeks in advance. I never took off. I was there all the time when I didn't have to be. Doing too much for your job that doesn't care about you. That was me. But I was like, I need the money, whatever. And I had a sense of like, oh, I'm a manager, so this is what you're supposed to do. So a couple other people that worked there had taken off. And I think it was for a holiday or something. And then I was like, you know, I should put my request in now, like 2.5 weeks in advance. So I'm like, it's enough time. It's like 17, 18 days. And so I come to work the next morning after submitting my request online, and the energy was as if I was a child that did something very bad. They would not speak to me, look at me, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Did something happen? And then I don't know where one of my bosses goes, I have to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, we're going to go over our new attendance policy. And also, since you're a manager, you need to give us 4 to 6 weeks in advance if you need off. And by the way, I requested off for 2 days. That's it. 2 days. And I was just like, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, okay. Like, I just was so taken aback. And I called my mom, and my mom was furious. She was so mad. But I just, after that, I mean, I stopped working there shortly after that. But yeah, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, the policy changes all of a sudden. I think they were just upset that a lot of people were taking off for the holidays.
And they're like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's on them. I feel like that's on them. If you,
I agree.
Is it a shift? Was it a shift type employment where you have to be, like, you have to be in person? It's not.
Yeah. But like, it varied. Like, my schedule changed all the time. So I was like, I'm just going to put this in so, just in case they schedule me on these 2 days. But it wasn't guaranteed that I would even be working those 2 days.
Hmm.
And it was like, and it was barely 2 days. It was like a day and a half, I think. I was like, what is happening?
Well, and unless you're a brain surgeon, I just don't understand the policy. Nobody can take, we need 4 to 6 weeks because what you do is so critically important. And I'm not trying to imply that what you did was not important, you weren't a standby brain surgeon, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What I do get is, all right, if we have a business, we are hoping to make money during the holiday season with that business, being more upfront, transparent, and saying, this is the fair system that we've created of who can take off during the holiday season because we're expecting to be open, but to not do that 2 weeks before the holiday season and wait for someone to start requesting off to realize that it's going to be a problem, I would argue is on the ownership or whoever your bosses were versus, because I mean, it is, it's just, you have to think, we were, think about last week when, you know, Jane, you came in basically alone to do the news, but none of us were here and had something happened or whatever. And just the, like, you, when you're running a business, you're running a business. And you need to be proactive of starting to think about how you want that business to run when it's the holidays. And the expectation is a lot of people are going to want to take off during that time. I remember working in sales, and if you worked in sales and your fiscal year matched up with the calendar year, how many salespeople you have just going, you know, unless they've hit their quota earlier in the year, but who are trying to get not only end of quarter, but end of year deals done, and just the craziness that that creates of trying to get a hold of people as your client, like you're on the client side of trying to get them to sign the stuff that they need to get signed so we can hit our number and hit our, like, you know, revenue numbers and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, that was never fun as far as maybe we shouldn't have had our fiscal year end with the calendar year, because that was a choice. No one forced us to do that.
Yeah, that was, you made it harder for yourselves.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like this is probably a ripe topic that we can continue to talk about as bad bosses, good jobs. What's a good job? What's a bad job? What's the point of creating a definition of a good job as far as how the role that plays in society and what we should try to be creating and working towards instead of just creating more crappy jobs?
Yeah. And because there's always going to be crappy jobs.
There are going to be crappy jobs.
Yes.
What was your, you were a thistle line picker?
Thistle picker on the P line.
Thistle picker on the P line.
Yeah.
I can't even say it twice.
It was a glorious experience.
All right. Well, good first show back.
So glad you're back.
I'm so glad I'm back.
Glad you had a wonderful honeymoon.
Yeah, we did have a wonderful honeymoon. I'm very happy to be back. Tomorrow, I don't even know what we have to. Well, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
So if you have anything, you, any organization that you plan on giving to, if you run an organization that you would like us to hype up, we are going to spend a fair amount of time tomorrow talking about different ways to donate, different local organizations to donate to, reading off any of your text messages of who, what nonprofit you think deserves people's attention and or dollars.
And who are your favorites?
And who are your favorites? You know? I mean, I feel like I don't have, I think about this every year, like where to, I want to give. Probably can't give to everybody. And so like, where do you prioritize? Because there's so many different causes that I feel like I care about. But also knowing where the money goes and, but, you know, and knowing all of the overhead and who's making the biggest impact and all of those different things. And so tomorrow we'll spend a certain enough time talking about Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
I also want to talk about this theater review of Cats.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
That I am, speaking of dramatic interpretations, I think my brother might join us to talk to us about what happened with FTX and the crypto thing that imploded and who's involved. And we'll see what else. But for now, I think that'll about do it for us today. But stick around to listen to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Bryant or the Chad Holmes Show. And otherwise, come back tomorrow when As Goes Wisconsin will be live again. And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AA.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.